Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the web, Midnight Black Mass, a production brought to you by GeorgeWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you discussions and interviews with figures and entertainment and general pop culture. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Midnight Black Mass.
greetings to you. Good evening, goblins, sorcerers, gods, and monsters. You're all welcome here. It is another edition of the Midnight Black Mass, and it is I, your host, the maniacal minister of the occult, the devil you know, the emperor of evil, the most sinister host on the coast, Reverend Dan Wilson here with another edition of the program. I've got a bit of an abbreviated edition for you here tonight. We got one thing that's important on this episode, and that is Marvel the Avengers out in theaters everywhere, premiering officially nationwide earlier tonight. I imagine the numbers are going to be pretty huge. Don't have those yet, but here on a special episode, long edition of the Muji Movie Minute to discuss the movie. And I'm warning you right now, fans, spoiler alert, we're going to go ahead and talk about plot developments. We're going to go ahead and talk about the exciting things that were unraveled and unveiled in the film. So, with that being stated, a very clear and stern warning the Reverend's given to you now. If you haven't seen The Avengers and you don't want to hear spoilers, then you need to click off this edition of the show right now and come back and rejoin us when you have seen the movie. And then even if you want to call in future weeks with your thoughts, we don't care. It's an open forum here. We're not trying to censor anybody on the Midnight Black Mass. That was Megadeth you heard there at the top of the hour with Five Magics off the 1990 masterpiece Rust in Peace album. And you'd go pick yourself up a copy of that. Your Uncle Dave Mustang will be happy to sell you one. And just briefly talk about the events of NWA Anarchy last week at the television taping. Azrael getting a shot at Retribution. Hate Junkie is also getting a shot at the tag team titles. Neither of those opportunities went according to plan. NWA Elite's got this new faction here with the Jerry Palmer is involved now with Jeff G. Bailey, and, you know, Bailey and I have always had a mutual respect, but, you know, he's very territorial, and now he's crossed over into trying to run over us to take over his territory, and so any agreements looks like are off the table now, and we're going to war. His boy has hurt Strychnine pretty bad. He's all right. He's going to make it through. He's going to be back. But you're probably not going to see him in action next Saturday night, May the 12th, at the NWA Arena International Television taping. But I will be back there. Of course, Danny Only is going to be back looking for revenge. Azrael's not too happy himself after what happened in the NWA Anarchy title match against Sean Tempers, which was the NWA Elite Squad, Team Temptation Squad, Jeff G. Bailey, Jerry Palmer Goon Squad. You know, they all banded together and they did some damage, and they prevented any chance at title changes for their men. And I can't say as I blame them. I'm not trying to wear a white hat here. People are behind what we're doing. Maybe because they see us as some kind of hand of retribution, like a force of nature that'll just swallow you up. So don't forget that. And I'm not going to rant and rave about it. Just don't be surprised when what happens to you happens to you, because you're not dealing with someone who believes in turning the other cheek. Oh, no. Tomorrow night, I'll be in Rossville, Georgia for Empire Pro Wrestling. Got a big announcement for a big return of the Devil's Rejects after they put that little punk chunky dragon on the shelf and shattered his hands into bone dust and sent him off limping and running him out of the sport where he belongs, and in the crowd or in a hospital bed or in a tombstone or under a tombstone, should I say. Fitting him in a tombstone might be a little difficult, but, you know, if you were like Kitty Pryde and the X-Men and you had phasing powers, perhaps the Jot, Empire Pro Wrestling, the Bar Night, Rossville, Georgia 22, Austin Avenue. Check it out. Reverend's going to be there. And then NWA Chattanooga return on May the 25th, Friday night, with a big card at Sunny Daisy Middle School. Go to NWAChattanooga.com for details. It's a big no count out match with Seven versus Drew Haskins for the Southern title. Tank's going to be taking on Bobby Moore. You got just a big card all around. Christian Heyman, Kyle Matthews, going to lock it up. Two fantastic technical wrestlers. So it's really going to be a really outstanding opportunity to see who's the better man there. And then, of course, the pose down challenge for Casanova and Bentley should be quite an interesting night of affairs at NWA Chattanooga Saturdays in middle school. Okay. I'm going to shoot straight with you here. The reason we're doing this is because the Rev's got about a week's vacation that he's long overdue. And, you know, I got a newborn, so sleep ain't been a lot. It ain't been plentiful. And I'm going to try to call it an early night tonight and get rested up before going on vacation and really kicking some ass this week. But we'll definitely be back next Friday night, of course, at midnight. And I'm trying to line up a return guest for next week. I've got a couple of options and a couple of ideas and trying to branch out a little bit. We've been doing kind of the same thing now for a while. We've gotten to a good routine. But, you know, there's a lot of different things I want to try. So I think it's time to start, you know, experimenting a little bit here on the Midnight Black Mass and see what happens. You've already experienced some of that with the All Marvel show last week, the All Comic Book Edition, and this week, of course, continuing that theme, focusing on the Avengers, but we're not going to just stay in the realm of comic books. Of course, we'll be back to horror and plenty of other wrestling, of course, music, heavy metal, just, you know, all the spectrums of the freakish entertainment that I like. But right now, fans, it is time for a special edition of the Muji Movie Minute. Introducing what I believe to be one of the greatest films ever made. That's just me. Now, Muji will have his own opinion. He's going to let you know exactly how he feels. But right now, the Midnight Black Mass brings you its exclusive world premiere review of The Avengers 2012. Yo, welcome to the show, my brother.
How's it going?
It's going awesome, man. It's going awesome. As you heard, I'm just about to embark on vacation. The Rev's going to get out and kick his feet up. Been working hard. Been taking a lot of lumps lately with my boys. Guys like Strychnine getting put out. They've been working me to death in the managerial front. Not to mention trying to hustle and bustle and make the money the way I do in all forms of entertainment and, you know, just being dad and everything else, you know, just going to take a break, going to chill out, going to go do some crazy amusement park stuff and going to turn my brain off. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. So this is a special edition of the program for me because as soon as this is over, I'm out. Ain't nobody going to see me. Nobody going to hear from me. No social media, nothing. You know how to get a hold of me, but you're on the inside network. Anyway, Avengers.
Yeah, it's just the vendors at Free Comic Book Day tomorrow. That'll be it. They'll be the only people that see it.
That's damn straight. Yeah. Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
That's happening. Don't forget to support your local comic book shops, fans, tomorrow. Free Comic Book Day. You can go get free stuff, but go buy something. It's a promotional tool, of course. We're trying to get people in there to buy stuff. So go to your shops, check out some stuff. You're going to get some free swag on your way, and it'll be a cool little experience.
Yeah, at least give a courtesy look. Even if you're coming in for the free comics, you might find something that you like. And also, the people working behind the counter won't talk shit about you when you walk out if you at least look around like you're thinking about buying something. So just do that. Yes, Avengers. I guess the short review would be it's really good.
Holy shit! Is that an understatement?
I think it's probably the perfect comic book movie. I think it's different. I'll get to it in a minute. It's different than what people automatically, because people automatically want to rank what's the best comic book movie ever. You know, people automatically after this weekend be arguing over which one was the best one ever. And undoubtedly, you know, it'll be just a two-person race to Nip the Dark Knight. I think they're kind of two totally separate movies, but I'll talk about that in a minute. But Avengers was great. It was perfect for a comic book movie. I've only been really into comic books for a short period of time, but it's definitely the closest anybody's ever come, you know, or I guess they're not just close, they actually did it, of bringing, like, the comic book off the page, or the whole movie, you know, felt that way. It was the perfect combination of, it was campy, it had, you know, a lot of, you know, it was funny, there was a lot of big action, all the superheroes interacted with each other great, you know, it combined, like, today's special effects with, you know, the way you felt when you were a kid, when you were watching, like, the old Batman show, you know, obviously way better, but the same type of feeling you got off that, but in, like, in a grown-up movie is the way that you felt when you came out of there.
To be said for that nostalgia, too, you know, like, when you're a kid and like, there's nothing almost that you can ever do as an adult to recreate those types of euphoric experiences when dealing with discovery of things like comic books and movies and et cetera, you know, and Avengers really did that, and that hasn't happened for me in a long fucking time.
Yeah, I would say a couple of things specifically that were good in the movie, not just that, you know, I mean, you judge a movie, you walk out of the movie and say, how do you feel when the movie's over? Well, the Avengers, you know, you were upset it was over. You're like, I can't wait for another one to come out. It was great. And well, on a high note, it built and built. At the beginning, you know, kind of some stuff happened. And towards the middle, it didn't really drag along, but it got a little bit to where, you know, it wasn't as much going on at some parts as there was then. But then for like the last 30 minutes, you know, it climaxed. I had the big fights and stuff. It was, you know, it got, like, you more and more excited. It was a movie that, like, where, as it built, you know, it was a little slow, and then it got faster, and then it got super fast, and they were able to successfully get it to that super fast level and hold it there for, like, the last 30 minutes of the movie, and there were, you know, tons of explosions, tons of action, tons of special effects, but they were just done so great. It was like, you know, it was the same level of special effects as, like, Transformers, which, you know, up until, you know, this probably has the best special effects of any movie, but in a really good movie, which nobody can seem to do, and, you know, Joss Whedon for the Avengers did it.
Yeah, he did it in spades. So much to talk about the movie, and I've already warned the audience, you may have heard while you were in the queue in the green room there, but, we're going spoilers, so I'm giving you the warning one more time. If you just tuned into the broadcast, fans, you want to go ahead and tune out. If you haven't yet watched The Avengers, most everybody's going to be seeing it this week or next, so I know, you know, you can just hold off, stop the show, and then come back and listen to the show after you've seen it, and then that way we won't spoil anything for you, because that is what we're talking about. What happened in the movie, the ramifications thereof. Again, do not listen to this show if you haven't seen The Avengers. Last warning. Okay. And on through the night we go, Muji.
Yeah, I think probably the biggest success in the whole movie was how well they blended all of the the Avengers together, all the big main characters. Nobody really, like I said, nobody's undertaken the task before of having all these characters that were the stars of their own movies come together, which, was a plan the whole time, but they just did it great, after it's over, you would say that probably Iron Man's the star of the movie. He seems to be the star of the whole, Marvel's movie universe, the Marvel Studios now. But
yeah.
Even still, everybody seemed pretty much equally important. They use everybody, to all their strengths. The one thing that if you were worried about anything at all and just thought, what might not be great was, for months, people wondering how they're going to use the Hulk, and it turns out, they use them better than the Hulk's ever been used in anything. It was just fantastic, in my opinion, better than anybody that I've ever checked out has even used him in the comics. Some of the stuff that was great was him being the Hulk and, beating the shit out of things, but the special effects have totally caught up to where it totally blends in. So it's not like all of a sudden it looks like there's an alien hanging out. He just does look like a big green guy. And they use the sense of humor of him, I think one of the big things has been able to have Robert Downey Jr. in there and the character they've created. They were really able to joke, just like in the comics and all the big comic get togethers. They were really able to, the characters were able to joke with each other and talk shit to each other the whole time, and it'd be funny, would also, add to the story and kind of, telling you who the people were. And the Hulk was awesome. One of the things that bummed me out was that Edward Norton wasn't coming back because he's such a great actor, and then Mark Ruffalo had, kind of a totally different take on the Hulk where he's, really scared that he's going to turn into him. He's kind of, being a recluse the whole time. And he played him great. And so when he actually did do Hulk up and when he actually did, make jokes back and stuff, which didn't happen that often, it was hilarious. They hit. There were some of the highlights of the movie were, when he Hulked up and when he actually spoke.
Yeah, the Hulk was one of my favorite parts of the movie. And, I love the character of the Hulk. I do. I love the idea of the monster. But, he's just been one of those Marvel characters that suffered over the years from a lot of oversaturation, and a lot of confusion of what the Hulk is, and that's still going on, because now they got a Red Hulk, and they got Red She-Hulk, and regular She-Hulk, and all that's well and good. I like a lot of those characters, but to new fans, some of that's pretty confusing,
Yeah, I think a basic problem with the Hulk probably is he's got to be the most fun person to, draw him fighting and things. So in a lot of comics, especially not Hulk comics, group things, he shows up and, action ensues. And, it's all the Hulks here. He's about to beat the crap out of everybody. Whereas in the movie, really, with the character, it was light, but he was still, a lot deeper. It's still a story that is in the comics, but, often gets lost and everything they were able to do in the movie there, where he wasn't just there. When he did go crazy, it really meant something.
Yeah, they really built the Hulk up well in the movie, and he was oversaturated, so I kind of just overlooked how fun the Hulk could be, and the way they used him really made it stand out as some of my favorite stuff in the movie. There's a particular scene where he's raging. Like you said, the special effects, for one, just totally caught up, totally believable. Nothing's never been a good Hulk, as far as I've been concerned, on the movies. The one with Edward Norton was passable, but still totally fake-looking, But this, it was passable enough for you to still enjoy the movie because it was a good movie. But, this one, this looked real. It was a goddamn fucking living, breathing Hulk standing right in front of me on a movie screen, and that was incredible. And it wasn't Lou Ferrigno, it was that guy with the comic. But But yeah, the Hulk really top notch, where he just goes nuts on Loki. Loki's given this big soliloquy, and we'll talk about him in a minute too, because outstanding performance. But and the Hulk just goes batshit nuts on him, and it's like it could have been my favorite scene of the whole movie. Like I saw it a second time today, and just fucking lost it again watching that scene.
Yeah, that was two of the best scenes, were when he went nuts on Loki, and then also when he's taking care of a bunch of bad guys, and then I believe it's Thor he's standing next to, and then just gives him an extra punch just for the hell of it.
Yeah,
it knocks him off the screen. It was, you know, it's hilarious. It's like I said, it's, you know, they kept everything really light, and that was the way that the movie worked. You know, it totally worked, because, you know, if it was dark, then, you know, you would just think these guys are assholes for acting the way that they're acting. You know, when you know going in, they're going to win. They're going to kick the bad guy's ass. You hope the bad guy puts up, you know, a fight. But you know what's going to end up happening in the end. You know, them joking around and everything is, you know, totally acceptable. Everything was good. You know, they did Captain America. You know, they made a lot of funnies over the fact that, you know, he's been frozen forever and has no idea what's going on. They did great, just like with the Thor movie, with Thor, you know, obviously being out of place, being in the world and not in his.
Exactly.
And then all the other characters, you know, they did go ahead. You know, they actually, the Black Widow and Hawkeye's characters were super important, whereas going into the movie, you know, you would have easily and probably even accepted if they would have just been kind of sidekicks, but they were actually, you know, had their own storylines going. And, you know, it seems like even for the minor characters, they gave everybody something important to do in the movie, which was pretty surprising that they, you know, were able to do it and make it work and make that go well.
Yeah, and let's talk about Hawkeye and Black Widow for a moment, because I'm glad you brought that up. I really enjoyed what they did with those two characters. I, too, was expecting them to be secondary side characters that would get a little screen time in, get a little kick of the ass in the team action. But, of course, leave it to Joss Whedon to twist the script on you, because he's a fucking true blue nerd. And so, you know, he's a mark for Hawkeye, and he's a mark for the Black Widow. So what does he do? He really delves into their actual comic backstories. Like, he uses this mind control with Loki for like the first act of the movie to get Hawkeye over as, you know, in a heel capacity, like fucking, you know, just showing what a badass he is, and how, you know, how he can shoot the arrows fighting against the Avengers, and, you know, in one of the many hero versus hero fights you got to see throughout the movie. But, you know, you got Hawkeye over that way, which is very different, because you've seen him, what, in 5 minutes in Thor previously, and that was it, you know. But then he's out there, first act of the movie, now in under mind control is a bad guy and is kicking ass.
Yeah, it was another, it's a good example, too, of how they've gone a smart direction on, especially with this movie, getting someone who's, you know, not only good director, but also someone who actually, you know, loves the characters. You know, it was perfect, because I think that as a casual movie going fan, you know, you're gonna think it's awesome. It's gonna be like a very, very good movie to you. You're gonna be like, you know, it's gonna be a great movie. But to, you know, comic book fans, you know, it's even more than that. Like, that's, you know, it's gonna be like a favorite movie. You know, it's gonna go from, you know, whatever, it goes up another notch, because, you know, they were able to make it to where everybody's going to like it, plus build in enough small things, you know, that, you know, if you're fans of the comics, that you like, to where it's really the best of both worlds. And hardly, you know, nobody's really done that like that well before.
Yeah, it was of biblical importance to me in the realm of movies, you know. Like, I find it hard-pressed, though. Like, you know, you got to gauge your favorite movies by if there was something out there that you could think was better than that, right? or that you likes more, right? See, you know, maybe not even better, but that you likes more for your favorites. And I just, right now, and maybe the buzz will wear off, you know, maybe, but maybe not, because I haven't felt this way coming out of a movie in a long time. I can't tell you a movie right now in my mind that I like more than the Avengers.
Yeah, the last time that I think about movies I've seen as an adult and came out and were just super happy with, I mean, there's been a few comedies, because, I mean, you're laughing all the time in comedies, so it's a different feeling, but a movie like this, it was a big budget thing that didn't disappoint. I mean, obviously, The Dark Knight, I came out of super pumped, and the last time before that was the third Lord of the Rings movie, so, I mean, that's two movies in, like, 7 years before this, so I came out just totally excited. I think it's definitely a really good movie. I think, you know, especially on a first watch, it was really, really good. Now, there were certainly some parts that, like I said, I don't think it takes away from the movie, but it's because of what it is, because it just is a silly superhero movie. You know, that's what you're looking for. They didn't try to be more than what a superhero movie is. You know, they just did that perfect. Just make, you know, make comic book heroes, you know, as perfectly as close to the comics as you possibly can. So I think it's great. I think, you know, just off the top of my head, I would put it, you know, somewhere in my favorites, probably, you know, somewhere within my top 10 favorites. I don't think it's one of the best movies, like, ever. It's somewhere up there. I don't think it's not like a top 5 movie or anything to me. But I think it's really, really, really good. And being fans of comic book movies and that type of movie, you know, it's even better to me, you know, just because, you know, you like, you know, just because you know the characters already.
Yeah, definitely appeals to that and those sensibilities. Well, looks like we got a caller on the line, actually. I don't know if they're just listening in or if they want to contribute to the conversation, but let's check in with them and see. Hello, 615 area code. You are on the Midnight Black Mass. Hello, 615 area code. You're on the air. Just wanted to see if you had thoughts on the Avengers. Were you just listening in, or did you want to contribute to the show?
Well, actually, I was just listening in.
Oh, all right. Well, continue, and we appreciate you tuning in.
Another listener. Still waiting on the random callers.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I think just since we always give ratings and stuff to movies, like I said, just like last week, we're talking about Iron Man and such, kind of rate them by their genre, not exactly compared to horror movies. But out of 100, I thought about it, I'd probably give it like a 94% well done. It's really, 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 really good. I think that because of the type of movie it is, I mean, it's a great movie-going experience, like taking nothing away from it. I think something with a more serious premise might be able to come out and give you like more of an emotional roller coaster that could get you higher than a 94 on the movie scale for whatever that is. But I think that's the highest I've ever rated anything we've ever talked about on the show. But that's what I thought of. I would give it a 94.
Yeah,
it was really good.
I can't stress it enough. And again, you know, fans, if you have not seen the movie, then tune out and come back and join us later, because we're talking about plot details. We're talking about spoilers. We are talking about the Avengers. It's a very exciting time to be a fan of comic books or cinema or whatever drew you to the Avengers, you know, because, man, I mean, we talked about Black Widow and Hawkeye. We talked about the main characters and how they were used. Some of the ancillary characters, of course, you had Robin Scherbatsky from How I Met Your Mother, Colby Smulders as Maria Hill. Nice introductory role there. She wasn't very crucial, but she had some really good scenes, especially like bailing out Nick Fury and a couple of the big firefights.
Yeah, she probably had the number one non-superhero role in the movie, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, and, you know, set the tone for her to be back. And, of course, if you know the Marvel Universe and comic realm, Maria Hill becomes a very important part of and ultimately becoming director of S.H.I.E.L.D. So if they take that route in the movies, then, you know, in, as they move forward, she's going to be a more important character as they move
then
on.
Then as the rest, she might have signed her life away. Depends on how these movies do.
Yeah, I think with the box office numbers on Avengers coming in, have you heard any official numbers on that yet, by the way?
There hasn't been anything official, but they're pretty good at predicting. They're never off by a lot. And, I mean, it's pretty big. It's like over $150 million. It's like, it's not as much as, it's not going to be like the number one movie. When we were there on Friday, we were thinking, you know, what could possibly, and it could take off, because if you remember when The Dark Knight came out its first week, it was huge, but it just stayed in the, like, number one for weeks and in the top five for weeks. So Avengers could do that. It wasn't as big as The Hunger Games opening. Or that's what they're thinking it could end up being, but they're saying that they don't think the weekend it's going to end up being as big as Hunger Games, but that for opening night, it actually, just for the midnight showings, I think they said it was second to the Harry Potter, the Deathly Hallows 2, for an opening night. So it was really good. I think tonight, apparently, it's still good, but it's not going to be like the biggest weekend ever, but it's still like $150 million. So it's doing really good. That's, to put it into perspective, X-Men, Captain America, Thor, none of those cracked 100 in its first week, and this is going to make like 150. So all those movies ended up making tons of money. So, you know, they're probably going to make $1 billion off this before it's over with.
Yeah, they're going to be churning out these movies until, you know, you're sick of them. And I won't get sick of them, but a lot of people probably will. So we might as well enjoy it while it's golden, Pony Boy.
As long as they keep putting the same care into it, you know, as long as they don't just rush them and chuck them out just to put them out, as long as they, you know, keep getting people that, you know, like the characters and want to make the movie. I know Jon Favreau was a huge Iron Man fan, which obviously showed through in Iron Man 1 and 2 being so awesome. You know, obviously everybody knows Joss Whedon likes all comics. So, you know, if they keep getting people, you know, Bryan Singer was a huge X-Men fan and that kind of showed his stuff and, you know, showed with him coming back and producing the new X-Men movie that was so excellent. So, you know, if they keep getting people who almost like any sort of entertainment there is, with being a wrestling show, specifically like wrestling, if you get people who actually are fans of the thing that they're working on, then, you know, it comes across on the screen. So as long as they keep doing that, then I think they're going to keep making them. Especially, too, when there's so many duds. Like, special effects are so great now. And both Marvel Studios and I know they have some input in the titles that they don't own, or the rights to the screen, you know, the movies, like with X-Men and the way that Spider-Man looks like it's going to be great. The preview that we saw, so excited about Avengers, the preview we saw for Spider-Man, you know, looked even better. The last preview was great. The one that showed Avengers, he's joking to me in Spider-Man, which he hadn't really done any of the movies, which is so awesome. But
yeah,
if they keep
yeah.
going the way they are, you know, I don't see, you know, it's going to take a while before people get tired of them. You see all those previews. I thought it was funny, too, speaking just about a movie-going experience, how it seemed like they went from main event down to opening card on those previews. Then the previews came on. Extended Dark Knight Rises right off the bat, which looked just crazy epic. It looks like it's going to be fantastic. Then Spider-Man comes next. Looks awesome. And then a whole bunch of big-budget movies that look terrible, all one after another. You know, so it just shows, you know, they're really doing something great when there's all sorts of people putting, you know, huge budgets into these things, and a lot of these movies looked really awful. I'll say Battleship.
Yeah,
I'll be surprised
absolutely.
If that movie isn't just a piece of shit. It looked like a huge piece of shit. Maybe it won't be, but it looked terrible.
Oh,
G.I. Joe.
Like all of that shit, like, it was killing me. Like, and that's a good time to break from the Avengers for a moment, because we were talking about some of the other minor characters, and I do want to go back to that. But, you know, just the previews that we saw, you're going to get me off on a rant here, Moochie, but, like, okay. Okay, the G.I. Joe movie, that looked much better than the first one. Like, I'd never seen the first one. I never even gave it time of day because it was shit. So I never
The first movie was so awful. Listen to this. It should have been a great event. The first Blu-ray that I ever bought, I paid basically full price for that movie. The second Blu-ray, I bought Halloween on Blu-ray, and then it wasn't scary because it just looked too good. So we went back the next day, and it just so happened that me and a couple of friends, nobody had seen G.I. Joe. Everybody wanted to see it. I bought it on Blu-ray, came back. It was our first big Blu-ray experience. My TV was very new, the 51-inch TV. It only been around for like a month. So it was going to be our big first movie viewing, and everybody fell asleep. That's how bad it was. It's an action movie that all three of us fell asleep in.
Yeah, I mean, the second one, you got The Rock. It looks like you got Storm Shadow and, you know, some cool things like Scarlet. You know, even like G.I. Joe. Like, I certainly saw more memorable things from G.I. Joe from my childhood in that trailer than I did in anything relating to that first movie.
Yeah, they recast almost everybody. I think everyone except for Channing Tatum, who's an awful actor, but chicks love him. They recast because they had Scarlett in the first movie, but it was the chick that's just not good. And then, yeah, you add The Rock to it, and that's automatically going to bring an act. It's going to give an action movie a chance.
Yeah, but Battleship. I mean, that was like. Come on. And then they're trying to shove that fucking movie down everybody's throat. Like, oh, Coca-Cola, that Battleship. Look, the U.S. Navy worked on Battleship. Every third fucking commercial has something to say about Battleship.
That's the new trick is filmed with real active officers. You know, they had that one movie about the Navy SEALs that was supposedly all, you know, active duty Navy SEALs, which... Nice government spending if the active duty Navy SEALs are filming fucking movies and not being Navy SEALs, but nonetheless, that's the new big.
You not okay? So like we, you know, the midnight show, and we had pretty good, like no real dickheads around us or anything, you know, tampering with the fucking movie going experience, right? Well, today, me and the lovely wife are checking out a matinee showing. And, of course, you know, and try to save a buck, and that's what you get. Because this smelly mongoloid family sits in front of us, and they got
always
this little
happens.
Fucking kid who just won't stop yapping. And now, mind you, through the Dark Knight and Spider-Man, he won't shut up. But the second the trailer for fucking Battleship comes on, his eyes are transfixed to the screen as if his fucking messiah has plunged up from the ocean and called him forth.
Maybe that's what they're going for. I mean, that movie and the date on it too, man, it's just coming out in a couple, it's coming out in a couple weeks. I think
people are still going to be
watching Avengers, man. I have a feeling that Battleship, to make the most obvious joke of all time, is probably going to get sunk. And you're going to see every headline for every stupid movie site is going to have some pun on that. It's likely. It seems like one of those movies that you look at and you're like, they gave them like $150 million and this is what they came up with. You're like, yeah, you gave that money away, dude. You gave it away.
And much like South Park, long ago when they dissected Family Guy, completely ruined my ability to ever be able to watch that show with a straight face again, and not in the way they were intending. South Park's lampooning of movie trailers and modern cinema does the same for me with all of this stuff. Like, you know, there's a new Tim Burton claymation movie. And it's the same hollow-eyed fucking characters that he has and everything else.
That thing popped up, and, you know, we were mutters like, man, this movie looks like it's going to suck. I bet it's Tim Burton.
And all I could think of was, Tim Burton shits in your eyes, nose, and your ears. But fuck you, you'll come watch it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 Tim Burton, you know, God love him. He had a really good run in the 80s and in the early 90s. But he's just one of those dudes that seems like he made some money early on, so they've just given him free range to do whatever he wants, and doing whatever
and
he wants
means
is not
good. He's always
going
to cast Johnny Depp, and he's always going to cast Helena
Bonham Carter, and it's going to be a take that you weren't expecting on something classic that you like, and it's going to be just a little bit zanier than you thought. You know, that's the thing. I do know of Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp is a fabulous, like, you know, A-plus actor that can pretty much play anything. But every other movie that he's in is a Tim Burton movie, and it slowly is ruining him also. He's in so many other good things, you know, also, but, you know, it's just the same. Yeah, it sucks that he's a Tim Burton. Doesn't make good movies anymore.
Battleship, you know, and you had Rock'em Sock'em Robots, the fucking movie with Hugh Jackman a couple of months ago. We were joking at the theater, you and me, like, okay, well, I guess Monopoly is coming out next.
Tim Burton's Monopoly, where Johnny Depp will be, do not pass go, do not collect $200. You know, like something stupid like that. See, I see him in his fucking top hat, like with no problem. Yeah, so
yeah.
You got Helena Bonham Carter standing there, like, welcome to Park Place. Like, it's already written. Monopoly,
her
like, I never thought it was
be
before.
The community chest.
Yes.
But.
Somehow we
digress. We go on this rant about shitty movie trailers. But, Avengers, talking about some of the other minor characters, Agent Coulson, who'd come up through the ranks of the previous Marvel movies as a fan favorite character, met his bitter end as a big fuck you to all those smart marks that supported him. I kid, like, he met a valiant death against Loki, and it was cool, and I enjoyed that scene. You know, it was all very touching.
Yeah, he did good. Like, so the guy that played Loki did really good. He, despite, you know, being a stick boy and not super menacing looking compared to any of the characters, you know, they did a really good job of, you know, him being bald. That was one of the early things that, once it got out, pretty much, that, you know, he was going to be the main heel in the movie. A lot of people were like, well, you know, Thor just kicked his ass. Why, you know, how's he gonna be the main guy against the Avengers? A lot of people thought it was a weak choice, and turned out that they were wrong. He was a great choice.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston as Loki knocked it out of the park. As a longtime comic fan, I've always liked Loki, you know. He was just never ranked in my, like, top echelon of villains. But, you know, if you go back through the Avengers lore and you look right there in the very first issue, their first meeting, but who was responsible for having to get them all together? And it was Loki. So they stayed true right back to the 1960s origin in this movie, with Loki being the villain. And they also did a fucking seamlessly streamlined amalgam between the original Marvel Universe origin of the Avengers and the Ultimates, which I don't know how much that, I believe I let you borrow the Ultimates and you read that, where they already kind of look like the movie.
I think so.
Yeah, they streamlined the origins, like the Chitauri and all that shit was from the Ultimates. And Loki and the Asgardian stuff was from the original 1960s Stanley and Jack Kirby Avengers. So they actually took them both and just combined them. So I thought that was really cool. But then, really, we've got about 10 minutes left on the broadcast here. I'm going to run a little commercial and play another tune, and then I'm going to jump just as soon as we wrap this discussion up. The really only other thing I wanted to add, other than just saying go see this movie if you just some reason wanted to torture yourself and get spoilers to make sure it was good before you went to go see it, go. But the post-credit scene, the infamous Marvel post-credit scene. This has become an expected thing in Marvel movies. There are actually two in this one, but really the only important one was the first one. The second one was just a joke. But it was an interesting joke, but it didn't reveal
it. Yeah, we were marks and missed it on Friday or on Thursday.
Yeah, I saw it today. It really wasn't. I wouldn't have regretted waiting to see that on DVD, but it was entertaining.
And we knew as soon as we left, and it was exactly as thought. As soon as 5 minutes I walked out of the theater, I was like, man, I heard they filmed some extra scene and had all the Avengers in it, and the first scene didn't. I wonder if that was the second one, and sure enough, that was just...
That's what happens. But anyway, getting involved in some of the cosmic Marvel lore, which is kind of its own little corner of the Marvel Universe, but it has crossed over a couple times. The most popular of those stories would be the Infinity Gauntlet storyline. And it does appear, just in the way things have worked out, that perhaps Loki has traded the Infinity Gauntlet to this cosmic being in exchange for his help. The Chitauri, which is basically like a movie universe version of the Skrulls, are the army that Loki uses. Of course, he makes a deal with a cosmic god to get this army. And that's kind of put on the back burner. They talk about it at the very beginning of the movie. Kind of puts, Loki's just the focus as he should have been. Gets his heat and gets over, But then Loki gets defeated, of course, because it's a fucking superhero movie. What'd you expect? What you don't know is that they're going to reveal the person who orchestrated the whole thing. But who are they bringing to the Marvel movie universe but the mad god of Titan himself, Thanos? One of the most powerful characters in the Marvel universe, inspired by Jack Kirby's Dark Side from DC and the New Gods, but had certainly some of his own influences as well, and has become a very popular and important villain in the Marvel Universe. So, and an interesting choice for them to bring into the fold of the movie universe. Moody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's cool. It's another move that, probably people wouldn't think, but when you think about like huge Marvel villains, like there's not most of the household names are really tied to their specific franchises. So, they kind of, in like an Avengers type thing, they're going to be forced to kind of either reuse some guys or bring somebody like that in. So, I think it's good to do somebody fresh. It'd be really easy just to, do somebody that's already been a bad guy in one of the single movies. So, it's a good idea. And it also, like you say, it's also for people who watch the movies, especially, if they don't read the comics, they don't know who the fuck the guy is. So as long as they, build him up as being important, they've built Loki up now through two movies as being a big villain. And this guy was, is above Loki in the rank. So, I think people who, don't read the comics will automatically just buy him as a threat because, they've basically built him as being Loki's boss in the movie. So,
Thanos is just such a super powerful, he's a cosmic entity. He does not eat or drink. He just exists. He's like an Asgardian god, but even more powerful. Some of his power set here is just what I was wanting to kind of look at. He's got really quite a few great deal of powers here. He possesses superhuman physiology of the Eternals. This gives him superhuman strength, endurance, reflexes, and agility. His skin is invulnerable against heat or cold, electricity, radiation, toxins, aging, and disease. He can survive indefinitely without food or water, even before his curse from death left him immortal, unable to die. His mind is invulnerable to psychic attack, and he can project psionic blasts of energy, as well as blasts of plasma and cosmic energy from his eyes and hands. So they really needed to step it up for Avengers 2 to have a villain that could threaten that team. And I think that description right there fits the bill, huh?
Yeah, I think we have one. It's a good description. I think, you know, all of that being said, you know, I mean, they just got to kind of show you on screen why he's important, you know, like, most people aren't going to know that, but they, I think, you know, it'll be good. And also, when you think about it too, man, unfortunately, one thing too is with Marvel, you know, not owning the movie rights to, like, a lot of, you know, some of the franchises, is that your real A-list of Marvel villains, I don't think they have access to movies. So,
well, Doctor Doom is tied up in Fantastic Four.
Yeah, Doctor Doom, when they actually went to the planet, I actually was thinking maybe because the word doctor got said while they were up there, and I was like, oh, that would be crazy if they somehow got Doctor Doom. But they can't do Doctor Doom. They obviously can't do any of the X-Men villains. Like, Magneto would be an easy guy that could take on the Avengers. They can't use him. You know, any of the Spider-Man villains. I mean, if you think about the really good Marvel villains, you know, are not just, they're really good. They're perfectly good villains that they're using in these movies, but the real famous, like, A-list villains, you know, they don't have access to for the Avengers for the most part. So, yeah, certainly going with that, going a little bit different with them being, you know, alien, you know, looking like an alien and everything. It's, you know, it seems like a good choice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it, you know, he's going to be formidable enough to stack up against the Avengers and be a threat to a team that powerful. I think, you know, yeah, as you said, a lot of the good villains are tied up. You know, you have some, like Spider-Man's villains are all tied up. Like, even Juggernaut, who's been a shared villain throughout the Marvel Universe, he's been in the X-Men movie franchises. So you got to think that they own him. You know, going to be interesting to see what villains they could bring out for the Avengers. I'd say Kang the Conqueror is probably a good potential candidate to come out against the Avengers later in future movies. Wonder Man, you know, where he turns on them. Ultron, the psychotic and the robot that goes fucking nuts and destroys everything. Like, they had a lot of the classic just Avengers villains, so hopefully, I guess, we'll just stick with those. But, yeah. All right, man. Well, I think we've said about all that can be said about the Avengers. Any final thoughts, Muji?
Go see it. Don't be an asshole. Go see it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, fans, we'll be back here next week with another edition of the Midnight Black Mass. Thanks for joining us, folks.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Tempe's of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling
at the Academy Theater in Avondale State.
We're also at the Masquerade every month or so.
Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling.
And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire,
formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
Thanks again for joining the show, fans. We'll be back next week at midnight with another edition of the program, working on special guest pages. Our Facebook page, facebook.com/midnightblackmass, for details as they are released. You can follow me on Twitter at DragonsRejects, and otherwise you can see me live and in action across the great states of the U.S. in many professional wrestling organizations. Tomorrow night, Rossville, Georgia, Empire Pro Wrestling. Next Saturday night, NWA Anarchy, Georgia, Cornelia, Georgia, International Television taping. And then May 25th, NWA Chattanooga, Sunny Daisy, Tennessee, Sunny Daisy Middle School. Fans, thank you again. Keep one foot in the gutter and one fist in the gold. This is the Reverend, and I'm out.
For listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.